Hey, hey, Shena, Shena, greetings, greetings. Yes, it's me, it's Al Pitcher, and thank you so much for joining me. I don't know why I've started this podcast in a very whispery voice, but it feels like that. I hope you're having a great day. It's going to get better. We've got a fantastic podcast coming along for you. It's called Al Pitcher Dream Guest. You probably know that unless you've randomly clicked on the link. Basically, the idea of the podcast is where I get to know someone a lot better by having a fika. In an EU poll, 15,000 people who had moved to Sweden were asked many, many questions. One of the most alarming answers for me was 72% of those 15,000 people said it was difficult to meet or connect with people in Sweden. Pooh! I mean, it didn't really surprise me. I've lived here long enough to know this. But wow, 72%. So my idea for the podcast is to sit down, have a fika, and get to know someone better. What better way? We have a fika, we have coffee, we bring out cakes, we have a mystery cake. The mystery cake this week is, it's connected, it's brilliant, you're going to love it. My guest is Kodjo Akolo. He's a person I've done gigs with. I've got to know him. I've listened to him on the radio. He's a brilliant guy. We spoke about many things. I think for the first time ever, I really got to know Kodjo. We got personal. We talked about Ghana. We had the fika in Ghana. Yeah, that's what happened. We had the fika in Ghana. He spoke about a very close funeral and how he reacted to this. We talk about chocolate balls and how chocolate balls to him are more important than I would even imagine they are. It's a brilliant, brilliant chat. So what I want you to do now is just sit back, relax, get ready to laugh, get ready to possibly cry. This is a really beautiful episode. Get ready, have a coffee, sit down, go for a walk. I'm Al Pitcher, and this is my dream guest.
Intro myself?
Yeah, please okay. Do.
In Swedish or in English? Or do you want it in Swinglish?
No, we need English because we've got three people in Gotland.
The British expats on Gotland.
Three of them are like, honestly, if we'll unsubscribe.
All right. Well, then I will do it in the Queen's English.
Queen's English.
For the three British listeners on Gotland.
Yeah.
Today's guest is, well, unfortunately, not an award-winning comedian, but...
No.
Well,
you should be. Anyway, continue.
I know, right?
Yeah.
God damn, Ahmed winning the award before me. Yeah, I know, I'm deeply offended. But anyways, our next guest is not an award-winning comedian, but a dialect champion of monumental proportions.
Yeah.
Auspicious.
Suspicious.
Eloquent. Auspicious, Google it.
Auspicious and suspicious.
Yes, yeah. Well, slightly, depending on which borders he's trying to cross, obviously. very funny, very humble.
Oh, absolute.
Magnanimous, eloquent, and titillatingly, tantalizingly terrific.
Please welcome Al Pitcher.
Yes.
No.
And sidekick Kodjo Akolo.
No, that's a nice intro.
I thought it was okay.
And not too many, like... you know, dates or, you know, he's done this, he's done that. A lot of just long English words.
I know. And, you know, it was hard finding those three T's.
Said in a beautiful downtown Abbey, because you're a bit of an actor, aren't you?
Well, I haven't acted in anything, but I'm an aspiring actor.
Didn't you go to New York?
I did go to New York.
How was that?
Lee Strasberg's School of Method Acting in New York. I was in New York, walked the streets.
I saw New York, the accent got voted the most...
disgusting.
Annoying. Yeah.
Well, it is.
Yeah, it's dirty, isn't it?
But I kind of like, you know, the roughiness of it. I think it's, you know, everybody... the thing is, everybody considers New Yorkers in America to be really rude. But that's because everybody hasn't met Swedes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you compare the general Swede...
the black belt.
Yeah, to an American, a New Yorker.
Yeah, yeah.
They're polite.
Well, New Yorkers show emotions.
Yeah.
So if, literally, when I was there, you know, a taxi pulled out and a guy just poured coffee over the windscreen, you know, like it just went like beep, beep. And he just, you know, that's emotion.
Yeah.
A Swede would probably just bottle it in,
yeah,
and walk around for days with that anger.
And then vote for whichever party gets that person out of the country.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, but I saw the same thing in New York. It was a guy, he was walking with like a hot dog stand. And he just crossed, you know, across the street, just straight out over the street. And all the cars were honking and stuff. And he was just like, fuck you, fuck you. And they were like, fuck you, guy. Like, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck you too. Just walking so slowly.
Yeah.
And everybody was so pissed off. And he was just like, you know, go fuck yourself. You can fuck yourself
too. I had a moment where I was saying fuck off to a taxi driver. Yeah. And it was,
liberating.
I could see my soul like lifting to the heavens. It was beautiful.
And I think maybe the New Yorkers are just misunderstood.
Like, did you enjoy New York, though?
I loved it.
Intense?
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, because French was voted one of the most sexy accents.
Yeah, yeah.
But we all know the French are
See, I don't know if they were, but you just wanted to do a French accent.
Of course I did.
And you do it so good.
I do, because I've lived in France.
Have you?
I have. Vive la France.
They've got the Rugby World Cup at the moment.
Oh.
So my whole nation of New Zealand is watching France.
The haka didn't work?
The haka works sometimes.
Yeah, but not against French.
No, the French. Yeah, the French just.
He's a buster. What are you doing? Your face is.
No, I. But you've always been good at accents.
Yeah, but it's because I grew up with Monty Python.
Okay.
A lot, like my stepfather.
Yeah.
He would watch like Allo Allo.
Yeah. I loved it.
And Fawlty Towers.
Yeah.
And I'd watch a lot of Monty Python, specifically The Search for the Holy Grail.
Okay.
And I don't know when, like, I think it's just, you know, you watch something, and this is back in the VHS days, so you'd watch something, you thought it was funny, and we'd both laugh at different parts of the comedy.
And rewind.
Yeah, and then you'd watch it again, and then, so after a while, I just started, like, imitating, like, you know, you and your silly kniggits.
Yeah.
And you got, like...
People who can do accents love it. People who can't despise it. I really hate when someone goes, watch this accent, and it's terrible.
But, my dear friend, why do you find accents so provocative?
See, the German, like you've just done.
Hey! Thank you. Thank you.
So the idea was to have a dream fika. So let's imagine, where would you like to have this fika? Take me there.
You know what? The first thing that popped into my head right now would be cool to be in Ghana with you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, when it comes to the sun, we're on opposite sides of handling it. You're basically...
Yeah. So this is not for my positive.
No.
This is you to watch me burn.
This is the real me. Like, I like to consider myself a lovable asshole. But I saw a quote that I love with the, I think his name is Christoph Waltz. You know, the guy who plays the Nazi?
Yeah, brilliant actor.
There's this movie called Downsizing where he has this quote that I thought like, oh, this is me. Where he says like, you know, everybody hates assholes, but without assholes, where would all this shit go?
Yes, nice.
And that for me was like...
That's our picture.
That's me.
Oh, no, that's you. That's you, yeah.
And that's why I'd like to bring you to Ghana.
Okay, that's wonderful. I sort of... imagine you as like a really cruel travel agent.
Yes.
People come in and you look at them and then you go, they could burn. Well, you know, let's get them
welcome
to the hottest.
Welcome to my country. Where are you from? Australia, come on. You're so white. Come.
But it's New Zealand, but that's fine. But I...
Close enough, come on!
Do you go to Ghana? They don't have a fika culture in Ghana, though, do they?
No. And I mean, for my parents are... No, but it's true. They don't have fika culture, but they do have, like, they're tea drinkers since it's a British colony.
Yeah.
So they like having... They have tea, and when I was in Ghana growing, the first few times I went there, they have two different breads. They have, like, sweet bread and the other stuff. And sweet bread is basically, like, sugar and really fluffy bread, and then you just... have that like a loaf with a cup of tea, like a huge cup of tea.
Oh, yeah.
And that's basically, that
you just
could
fill
be a breakfast.
Yourself up. Yeah.
But I'd like to bring you there and the feeling I got now would be cool sitting with you. You wouldn't be drinking tea in Ghana, though.
No.
You'd probably be drinking, like, you'd have a non-alcoholic beer, which they don't have.
No.
They'd be like, what do you mean?
Yeah. And why has he got sunblock all over him? What is wrong with this guy?
No, but I think it'd be cool bringing you there, and I think it'd be cool just experience seeing, like, I'm very partial when it comes to this, but the jewel of Africa. That's what my parents have taught
me. Okay.
So that's where we would be. We'd probably be at my mother's house on her porch where there's shade and be sitting and sweating.
Have you told your wife about this? This is getting beautiful.
Yeah, but she's been there. She's also suffered.
But it's you and me there.
Yeah, spending time.
Yeah. And we sit there. What kind of coffee are you having?
Ghana coffee, which is, it's actually like, it's compared to like Swedish coffee, it's dark roast. Swedes like dark roast.
Okay. Mörk.
Yeah, mörk rost.
Yeah.
Ska vara så jävla, vet du vad? Ska vara så jävla starkt. Ska liksom svida till i käften. It should be strong, really strong, potent coffee. When Swedes travel to the States, we think the beer is disgusting and the coffee is terrible.
Absolutely. I've just been to America and the stress of getting my wife a coffee that was not just brown water.
Yeah, we're offended.
Yeah.
We're offended by that. And when they ask, like, would you like tap water or bottle? Yeah. And we're like, give us the fucking bottled water. Your tap water is sewer water for us. Yeah.
I wish you'd told me that. That's why I'm probably feeling a bit ill. I was drinking a lot of tap.
But it's the same thing in France.
But I haven't got Ghanaian coffee.
No.
I've got traditional Merc.
Swedish, yeah.
Merc. So here we go.
My coffee is always a lot of sugar and a lot of milk.
I never used to drink coffee either.
I wasn't a coffee drinker either. I started on the radio.
What time do you have to be there?
Back in the day, we were there.
Back in the day, mate.
I have certain words I can pronounce really
well.
That's
great. Yeah, thank you. Fantastic.
No, but I would start at, we have to be there 5:30.
Wow.
Like, and then after a while they said like 6 is fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think nobody showed up at 5:30.
Yeah.
But then we'd be there from 6 and then we'd start at 6:30.
Do you miss it?
Both yes and no. I can miss having the opportunity to be able to point at an instance or something that's happened and give my opinion about it. Like, if it's something that I feel is an injustice or something that I find is a stupid behavior.
Yeah.
Like having that kind of a platform where you can like, this is stupid. We need to stop this.
Yeah.
And then getting back a lot of, fuck you.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Go straight to yeah. Wow, I thought we were friends, Al.
No, yeah. I mean, and you were in the firing line a lot.
Well, once in a while. I think at the end of the day, like, you just get fed up with... the thing with public service is, I think it's a very important institution to have. I think it's a very, like, important platform to exist.
Yeah.
But the problem with public service is when you're doing it right, nobody likes you.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing it right, the right side of the political spectrum thinks you're too far to the left, and the left side thinks you're too far to the right. And that becomes truth for both sides.
Yeah.
Which means you're in the middle of, like, you're in the firing lines for both sides of the opinion because you're supposed to be in the middle.
Yeah.
You're supposed to throw shade at both sides whenever they make a mistake. And for me, after a while, I got tired of kind of just being that voice of like, screw these guys for that reason and screw those guys for that reason. And
okay.
Always getting like, oh, well, screw you just because you, blah, blah, blah. Because
at the
end of the day, like, the radio persona was a persona.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't me. Like, this is pretty close to me.
Yeah.
But it's not me either. And people, I think...
we're going to get really close to you.
No, but you know what? I'm going to give you as close an approximation of my private person, since we know each other, that you could possibly get, even though there's a microphone in front of me.
Yeah.
And three Brits on Gotland listening. Hello. Good morning. And I'm sorry about the Queen.
Oh, no. She's gone.
And congratulations to the King.
Yeah. Yeah. God save the King.
Finally got his job.
He held on. He held on.
Do you think he celebrated just a little
bit? A little bit. He must have gone.
Yeah. Mummy, where's the crown though? Oh, mummy, no, where's the crown?
So here we are. We're in Ghana.
Yep.
Now
it's super humid.
Okay, it is. That's why I'm moving my jacket.
Yeah, but it's ridiculously humid. Like, okay, we're there during the summer season here, which is rain season there, which means it is super humid. Everything's just moist.
Yeah, monsoony,
which means it is just super humid and really hot, and once in a while it rains. So we're sitting and we're just sweaty.
Yeah.
We're basically sweaty. And we'll probably be drinking a lot of water.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tap.
You are crazy. This one.
And are we having music on?
The radio's probably on in the background. I like listening to Ghana radio because it is so different from Swedish or any radio that I've listened to. I have like these moments that I remember that are significant from like radio wise. I remember when I was at my father's funeral in Ghana. And we were driving home from the funeral, which was a super bizarre experience because that's my first and probably last Ghanaian funeral, which is a completely different thing than a Swedish funeral. Swedish funerals is, you know, put the body in the ground. And then afterwards, people, you know, Swedes, you just keep the... Keep them on the inside.
I think that with death in Sweden, like, you know, sometimes it's very hard to even find out someone's passed away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the Ghanaian is more an Irish kind of like a wake? Or?
No, the Ghanaian is like, it's a mixture between a festival and a funeral. And like, if you take Swedish feelings, then it's like, the love of my life, she's gone. Oh, Ghana, it's huge feelings. Okay. Like, what? Screaming and wailing. And, you know, women like holding their heads and screaming. This dude was randomly walking with like a blunderbuss, which is like an old style, you know, like rifle. Way back in when the Brits used to stand in the line and then we shoot the French.
Oh, wow.
And when we're done shooting the French, we will shoot you. We will shoot you. And then whichever sides shoots the most will win the Napoleonic War, but not in Waterloo. God,
that sounds pretty normal.
Yeah, but yeah. And so that was... It's one of the things that, because...
That must have... Yeah, and then so you're in the car, you're listening to the radio.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't know if you do the same thing. As a comedian, I think, like, a part of our blessing and curse is that we're always observers.
Yeah.
We're always observing life. We're never... Sometimes you can actually live it, but you're always observing.
I always think you have, as a comedian, in a situation, you have the darkest thought.
Yeah.
And then your brain goes, I can't say that. Like, you know, you know, and then there are some comics that do say that and they're funny, you know. But my thing is, I have that filter which just, it's like a highway. The darkest thoughts just go off, you know, at a turn off. But yeah, I mean, and so the music's on, you're at the funeral.
I'm on the way home from the funeral, and I'm just processing the whole thing. And just as you said, like, there's this part of me that's like, there's a lot of comedy here, but can I joke about my father's funeral? And I talked to my brother about it. He's like, you can't joke about our father's funeral. Like, we're on our way from the funeral. Like, we're in the car and I'm like, there's a lot of funny stuff here. And it's like, what was funny? And I'm like, well, this thing was funny. Yeah. This thing was hilarious. So we get into this whole argument, of course, because we're both kind of processing the loss of our father.
Grief, yeah.
So then we both get silent and we're listening to the radio. And the DJs are like, this is 108.5 Akwaba Radio. And now it's time for the new hit jam from Mari Nancy. I don't know if that was her name. And the song goes on, and the verse is, if you break my heart, I'ma date your father. Dun, 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 dun. You gonna turn around, you gonna call me mother. Dun,
dun, dun, I dun, love dun. That song.
You know, I hear that song, and we all hear it, and we and my brother, we hear it on the radio, and we start laughing. Oh, you know, like, you know, we just break down in tears laughing. Whereas my cousin is like, what do you mean? Like, this is the... What's the issue? And we're like, it's a crazy ass song.
Yeah.
Like,
and the timing. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
And who says that? Like, if you break my heart, I'm going to fuck your dad. And you're going to call me mom.
It's from the heart.
It's from the heart.
And there's some truth.
It's
in
a
all
tricky
of that.
Wedding vow.
But it's, so you were laughing. But in times like that, you find the humor.
Yeah, and that's one of those moments where, like, I remember thinking back, like, that was a great radio moment. I don't even think that for them it was just the song, but for me it was like, this is funny, and this I can keep. This I can, like, this can help me ease through the transition of, like, handling what happened with my father and his passing and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one of the reasons I think, like, again, I've always had a tricky relationship to Ghana, but I think if we're going to sit down and have a conversation, it should be there, like, in this other unexplored part of my heritage.
Yeah.
Is where I'd like to sit down with you, my friend.
And what I would like to bring is probably your favorite fika.
Ta-da! Ta-da! Chocolate balls.
chocolate balls.
Put them in your mouth and suck them.
Okay, this bit has really changed. You want to have sex with my father, and and now we're going into this.
You break my heart.
Oh, if you break my heart. Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah.
There's romance. There's a real threat.
Yeah.
What's the deal with chocolate balls and you?
I think it's just everything. It's chewy. It's gooey. It's chocolatey. It's fatty. It's sweet. It's a little bit salty. It has coconuts. So I feel, you know, the African connection. And all of the above. It's just the best.
But you can have a bad chocolate ball.
Yeah, with too much butter.
Okay.
It has to be in fine balance.
Are you baking these yourself?
No, I buy a specific brand.
Okay. And are you looking for sponsorship? What's going on?
No, I'm not looking for a sponsorship, but they know who they are. And they know who I am.
And I'm eating your balls.
No, but I love them because I think they're also representative for progress.
Okay. Bring it.
I feel now that I'm being very intelligent.
No, you just need to move the glasses down and you'll be fine. Yep, there we go. Yes.
Feeling very intelligent.
Tell me.
Well, to make myself sound extra intelligent, I will pronounce this all in a British accent.
Yeah.
Well, because when I was growing up, these balls, yes, as many people know, were called something entirely different.
They were.
The words would sometimes be spoken to my face when I was standing in line, turn around and say, excuse me, I will have N-word balls, please.
Okay.
And I would think if I wasn't a minority in this country, I would choke you the fuck out.
Really? They said that?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm so sorry when I say stuff. I really feel bad
when you say it?
No. When people say things happen and then I'm an idiot. I question it. Like, really?
No, but the thing is, like, you have to think like back in the 80s and 90s in Sweden.
Mm.
80s and 90s in the world.
Yeah.
And trigger warning. You called fat people fat. People who had mental health issues were crazy.
Mental, yeah.
Yeah. Women could not accuse men of any wrongdoing. I mean, it was a time where the majority was always right, the minority was always wrong.
Yeah.
And growing up in Sweden during this time, these delicious, delicious, like, baked goods were something that, one, it wasn't controversial because there were no black people in the country who could be like, oh, that's not okay. Yeah. And even if you were, like me in my case, you could be like, that's not okay. People were like, I'm pretty sure it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm not offended by saying it, so I'm going to say it.
Yeah, that's the problem is when people start saying, I'm not offended myself.
Yeah. But today, I mean, if you do say it, people are like, what the actual fuck is wrong with you? Like, how could you say something about something?
Yeah.
How could you say something so vile about something so delicious?
Yeah.
And that's why I love them. It's a triumph.
Okay. That's nice.
Thank you. I am quite intelligent.
No. I mean, that's a nice moment.
Every single savory, sweet, chocolatey bite is a fuck you to all the idiots I saw when I was growing up.
I'm going to have another last bite.
Delicious. Yeah, and that's why it's representative for more than just a delicious, delicious bite of chocolatey goodness.
I was going to say, have you ever had a dramatic fika? But I think this is the most dramatic fika I've.
Yeah, but I used to work in a cafe at school. It was like a thing. Everybody had to work at the cafe.
Yeah.
And then with this one kid who would always come and order these balls, but then he'd say like the N-bomb balls.
Wow.
To my face. And I'd always think like there's a way out of this.
Yeah.
With a lot of violence behind it. But judging from how it's worked out all the other times I've tried to solve it with violence, I end up becoming the bad guy. Okay. And I think that's resulted in me, because that was a huge issue growing up, like I'm getting to a lot of fights. And my mother said to me on repeated occasions that if you have nothing good to say, don't say anything at all.
Mm-mm.
Which has led to me now, like if I'm in a conflict, I usually don't say anything because I know I have, like, if I open my mouth now, I'll go from the victim to the perpetrator.
Yeah,
and I don't want to be that. So I'm always quiet.
It's just that fine line, isn't there, between saying nothing or really standing up for yourself. And then everyone's like, whoa, what's wrong with you, man? And you're like, yeah, but there's backstory here, you know? Yeah.
But that's always been my issue also with like internet trolls and stuff when they write stuff.
Yeah.
Like they're always like, okay, I'll tell you a story.
Yeah.
So I'm working on the radio. And this dude writes to me, you know, blah, blah, blah. Hate your guts. go back to Africa, so on and so forth. All that kind of racist, hateful stuff. And let's call them Buyaran. And I write back to Buyaran. I'm like, I'm so sorry you feel that way. You know, a part of me wants to, like, you know, write something really mean, but I do want to try something new, and I'm hoping you want to meet me and try this something new. So I want to ask you honestly, what's the issue and why are you so upset? Takes a day, Buyaran replies back, and he's still, like, confrontative and angry. He's like, yeah, because you're sitting there, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I hear you, but, like, again, I want to try something new. Like, if we just trying to, like, get to the bottom of the issue, maybe there's a way for us to move forward as maybe not as friends, but with mutual respect.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask a question. Feel free to answer it or not. Like, how was your day today? Goes another day, and he's like, well, I still hate your guts, but I was at work today, blah, blah, blah. And we start emailing back and forth, like over the, like over 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And in the end of it all, like, Buyaran finally opens up, and he's like, yeah, well, you know, it's been frustrating at work, and a lot of stuff has been going on. And I guess, you know, I've written these things because, I mean, I do find you annoying, but I also realize now that we've been writing back and forth that you're a person, and I guess, like, a part of me has just been provoked by you always sounding so peppy and happy when my life is not so peppy and happy.
Yeah.
And when he wrote that message, I wrote back, ha ha ha, fuck you, Buyaran. I was just kidding. You can kiss my black ass.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, and you should be victorious in
this. And the moral of the story is, it is great to be the bigger person. It is important, and a lot of people need to do it. But once in a while, give yourself the little person perspective. You know, give yourself a long game just to show somebody, like, and then, because then he wrote back and he was furious, and I'm like, okay, there's a point behind this whole thing, to be honest. I wrote that and he got angry, and I was like, I wanted you to understand how I feel.
Yeah.
Because you feel like we've just reached somewhere where we have rapport and everything's okay, and all of a sudden you get attacked. That's how my day looks. I'm just going to my job, doing my thing. Out of nowhere comes somebody and like, go fuck yourself, you fucking asshole. Yeah, yeah. And they go back into their little cave, and I have to take this feeling that I've just received. And like, the point of me doing this was because I wanted you to really understand what it is that I go through, like how it is being a public person and having random people attacking you for no reason.
Absolutely.
And that, like, the correspondence we've had is like you being real and me being real. And in that, I still got you to feel bad. And this is, like, the point of it all. And then we were able to, like, you know, after that, he was like, okay, I get it, but fuck you. And I'm like, yeah, well, fuck you too, man. Have a good
day. And then you wrote something about if you break my heart, I'll fuck your father.
If you're a public person, I don't think it's an important position in society.
No.
Because you've never been on a plane and been like, is there a comedian on the plane? Is there a comedian on the plane? They need doctors and shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like...
Although I'm guessing you would try.
I would totally rock that shit.
They'd be like, no, but you're not. I am. I can save this.
I was actually on a plane once between New York and LA. And is there a doctor on the plane? And I'm like, oh my God. Like, this is actually happening.
Yeah.
And there's a dude on the row, like, across from me. I was like, And the steward comes out, and he's like, I need everybody to calm down. Everybody just stay calm. This is not a crisis situation. We're handling it.
Headphones on.
You just need to take it easy. Everybody just stay calm. And I'm like, you need to chill, man.
Yeah.
And they bring, like, out this bag, and the doctor comes, and there's a nurse on the plane, and there's all this drama. And I'm like, oh, shit, like, this is, like, maybe, you know, I'll be one of those, like, and now we have a witness report from one of the passengers. I'm like, yeah, I saw the whole thing, man.
Yeah. On WNBC 24 or something
I'll
like that, yeah.
Afro-American. Yeah, man. Hey, shit, man. I'll be Afro-American from the 1980s. Hey, man. From the 70s. Yeah, that jive turkey was twitching all over the place. Shit was not solid at all, man. I said to my soul, brother, what's going on? No, and then at the end of the day, the dude just puked in a bag and drama was over. And I was so disappointed. Yeah, I was really
disappointed.
Didn't
need you.
No, didn't need anyone, actually.
Dr. K could have been there.
I could have been like, yes, just in there you go. There you go. You'll be fine.
I once saved somebody's life. I was working in a theater taking tickets. And this person came in. It was Blood Brothers. I don't know if you've seen the musical. Very English musical.
No.
And... A guy just climbed up on there's the parquet and then there's the balcony, and he got up the top And then me and everyone's applauding, like, the end of the show. The guy's about to jump. We just grabbed him and pulled him back.
Mm-hmm.
And then the theater gave me a voucher for a glass of wine. For saving a life.
When and
so
this?
So now if I see any situation, I'm like, it's not worth it.
No.
I don't drink anyway, you know? So, yeah. So what you did on that plane was the good thing.
It's the mystery cake.
What we have now, we're going to bring out a fika, which is a mystery fika,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Because I think we're getting to know each other. We've had the chocolate ball, and this is something that I don't even know about. Mm-hmm. So we're going to bring this out. So if you want to reveal the conceal.
Oh. Well, go ahead, Al.
This is mystery cake for Kodjo.
Oh, it's black.
It's
it's black and white.
It's radio caca.
Mm-hmm.
Just it's like radio me. Caca.
It is. It's a thing.
All we hear is radio caca. It's also known as Kex caca. Mm-hmm. Is a chocolate cup. This is a long, so just
yeah, I'll be yeah, with
re- relax. Is chocolate caca, ice chocolate cake, dance chocolate kada, Danish, automobile caca.
What?
There's a lot of different names. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a delicious cake made from Marie Kekes, melted chocolate and coconut oil.
Uh-huh.
You like coconut?
Coconuts!
There are many theories around why radio caca is called radio caca. There is, of course, the apparent resemblance between radio caca and the old-timey radios. Look at that. That means that's a raid. Okay. But the theory around this name goes even deeper than the surface similarities.
I hope you add the X-Files melody to this.
We'll do something like.
Yeah.
Ooh. One prominent theory says that radio caca became popular during the early days of radio.
That was there.
In the 1920s.
I was there.
Hello. Kodjo here. The radio devices back then had a poor sound, so a silent cake like radio caca that is neither crispy nor crunchy would have made a perfect cake. Isn't that great? Interestingly, commercials aiming to sell bananas were using this exact same argument.
Oh.
Okay.
Have you ever listened to the radio eating a scrumptious apple, not being able to hear what they are talking about? Well, the BBC is now promoting a brand
radio
new
caca.
Radio caca and bananas.
Bananas.
Do you know what? I have never heard a radio commercial for bananas.
You haven't?
No. But it would be quiet.
It would.
Wouldn't it?
You know, I used to listen down south. I used to listen a lot to the radio with my brother wife, Susan. And, shucks, we'd be eating apples and canolas
crunch,
and all kinds.
Crunch,
crunch, crunch, crunch, crunch. But then all of a sudden, my friend Bubba, I almost said he used to work for me.
He wiped away the fruit fluga.
And brought me a banana. Silent, chewy and delicious.
Here we go. Radio caca.
Radio caca.
Caca, caca. Mmm, very sweet.
Yes,
thank you.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's,
Yeah, sorry, I keep on doing this segment going.
It's, chewy, very silent. We've been chewing at the same time.
Absolutely, we've had a kilo each.
Yeah, it's a lot, though.
It's heavy.
It is heavy.
It's heavy, and... it's a bit glassy.
Yeah, it's cold. It's frozeny.
But that's proper.
Yeah, it's a meal.
Yeah, and that's one. It's one cake a month. I wouldn't even say.
I think this is the kind of thing like they could serve in the military, like after a week of being in, like out in the field. They're like, have this,
and or maybe final meal before we go over the top.
Yeah, yeah. Right, old chaps, before we go over the top, have radio caca.
Radio caca. I think...
This war is sponsored by radio caca.
I'm going in again.
All right.
But, yeah, it's...
It's a lot.
It's got a cookie in there as well.
Yeah, but I mean, because people, like, if the listeners, like our listeners, Swedish chocolate is kind of thin.
Yeah.
Imagine tripling the thickness.
Do you like Swedish chocolate?
Of course.
Yeah, it seems to be the best, you
know.
It
is the best.
Yeah.
You know, the problem in Ghana, where we are right now, is that...
Forgot about that.
Yeah,
fly.
Yeah, a little knowledge to all our listeners. You can decide which melting point chocolate has depending on how many times you heat it and cool it down. So Swedish chocolate has a melting point, I don't know, let's say around 25 degrees or something like that.
Degrees.
Yeah. And so in Ghana, they have the same procedure, but it has to be able to melt at like 40 degrees.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So it's really chewy. Like when you eat Ghana chocolate, is really, really chewy and it takes forever to melt.
You've only taken a couple of bites of the Radio Kaka, and it was specific for you.
Yeah.
Due to your radio
history.
And cake history.
Yeah.
And but yeah, we must agree this was strong. Maybe give it an out of 10 rating, Radio Kaka is the mystery.
You know what? I would say, like, this is a good finisher for a very nice fika. Like when you feel that it's time for the guests to go home.
Bring out the radio.
Bring out the Radio Kaka. Let them have a bite. They'll be like, whoof.
Just say to your partner, oh, we're here. And they bring the Radio Kaka out. And everyone's like, God, I need to go.
Yeah. This was great, but I need to go and lie down for a while and have the sugar sweats.
Sugar sweats, I think, is coming through. How about the future for Kodjo? Where are you going?
I'm going out on a second round of my tour, which I haven't even gone out with yet. So I'm saying this to you.
Cool.
Only. Nobody else can listen to this.
Nobody. So I'm the only person that can buy tickets at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll need you to buy a few tickets if this is going to...
How did you enjoy getting back into touring?
Well, that was a thing. Like, for me, I'm not the kind of comedian who writes down everything I'm going to do. Comedy for me, it's not like sitting down and figuring out jokes. It's experiencing mundane or extreme things.
Yeah.
And joking about it. So for me on the tour, it's always an organic process where, like, I've done 7 stops, and at the end of 7, I'm like, okay, now I have enough to, like, really flesh this out. Like, it's a good hour, but it's not where it should be.
Yeah.
So for the next route, I want to do it again, and then on the final show in Stockholm, I will be recording it, and then it will be, you know, lighting and music and all kinds of cues and stuff and things.
Yeah,
like that.
Cool.
And I'm saying this now, and at the end, I'm probably going to be too lazy to do it.
There's always a little thing at the end.
Yeah.
No, but I and tour life, did you enjoy?
No.
It's a lonely one, yeah.
It's really pathetic.
Yeah.
It is really pathetic.
I love the shows. I've actually got a friend who does the tech part for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we get on really well, me and Max, and we can hang out.
Yeah.
And that's been a massive breakthrough for me, because it was just me on trains turning up, and there's just this incredible sense of, you give this laughter, you give everything, and then everyone goes home, or they go out to a nightclub, or and then you're backstage, you know, having an apple, you know, like, or a quiet banana.
I'll have a quiet banana.
You know, quiet banana.
I'm a very humble person.
And everyone's like, he's not even eating. I am. Haven't you seen the commercial? I think so. Be careful there. But you have a support act as well.
Yeah, I had different support acts for different cities. But I also think, like, it's tour life becomes worse or harder with family.
Yes.
It's a different thing. Like, when you have kids, they're like, where are you going to now? And in my head, I'm always thinking, like, is this the moment you become a stripper and or drug dealer, or all of the above?
Yeah.
A stripping drug dealer. Like, is this...
Which would be a weird drug dealer.
But it's also, I'd like that you're working in two different sections. No, but I mean...
Why the music? It's just...
And here's your cocaine, sir. Do, 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 do.
But I
just,
have you ever...
Just grab it up my asshole.
Have you taken the kids on tour?
Me and my wife are discussing, and I'm like, I think, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
I don't know what's gonna make them fucking weird. Like, what's gonna?
Do you know what? I had my son and my daughter side stage for one of them, and I looked over, and my son was like this.
Yeah.
My daughter was like, yeah. Thumbs up, and like, get off, you shit taxi.
But daughters, that's daughters in a nutshell.
Yeah.
They're the least impressed.
Oh, yeah, but the pride they have in you, though.
Yeah.
You know, once they see other people, God, laughing at my dad, that is, you know.
No, and so I don't know, but I think I want to bring them just so that they understand what it is I actually do. Because it is abstract. Like, it, and I mean, you know, if you just take it for what it is, if you what do you do, daddy? Well, I go up in the state and I tell jokes. And so once in a while, my son will like say something. He's like, is that a joke? I'm like, no, you're just being offensive. It's not. You'll get canceled if people hear this. So, and I think that's tricky, but I'd like to bring them out just to like.
You should do it.
This is the thing.
I was going to say, so I learned that there's this massive sense of pride and also a sense of incredible honesty.
Mm-hmm.
How was that? You know, and you know, as comedians, we're always putting out our hands. Is it all right? Was it good enough? And with them, they were like, yeah, it was all right. You know, bit of a cigarette and, you know, you were better last night, you know. Don't call us, you know.
There's room for improvement.
Yeah.
There, but I still love you.
Yeah.
But I mean. Do I respect you as much? No.
Mate, I've sort of. You're a mate, definitely. Yes. And I. Not to sound too radio caca and too sugary and too icy, I think I've got to know you a lot better even doing this.
Wow. But,
yeah.
It's kind of offensive.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the whole idea of dream guest is to bring someone here, have a fika with them. We went to Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for being it, man.
You could also just give me a call next time if you want to chat.
Chat without the cameras and
all the cameras. And
okay, cut these off and we'll have a proper chat. Thank you so much.
The pleasure was all mine.
Kodjo.
Yay! Sponsored by Bananas and Radio Kaka.
I'm gonna actually finish this, I think.
I don't think you should.
For more information on me, please go to my website, alpitcher.com.
This podcast was produced by Soulside Productions and recorded at Clarion Hotel Side in Stockholm.